Well, good morning. And while it's not as bright, and cheery as it was last week, it is a wonderful morning, as this is the morning in which we celebrate Palm Sunday, the Sunday or the day following the Sabbath, where our Lord Jesus made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem and was heralded as king, was greeted with hosannas, hosanna in the highest. So this morning, we're going to be taking a look at that. We're going to look at some of the prophecy and what occurred. We're going to be looking at the, whether it's theater or theology. Let's turn our Bibles to Zechariah chapter 9. We're going to read verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for your word, and we come before you this morning that you would show us your truth, that you would show us how to apply it to our lives, and give us a better understanding of you so that we might be better followers, that we might be better lights to those who are in darkness, that we might better be conformed to the image of Christ. Lord, we pray right now that you would open our eyes, our ears, and our hearts to your will and your word and your way. Father, I pray that as I speak, it would be you who is lifted up and your people who are encouraged, and that your truth would be the only word proclaimed here. We pray all these things in Jesus' precious, most holy name. Amen. Now, anybody here ever been in a play? Come on, even remember elementary school, you were in the little pageant or whatever, Christmas programs at church or whatever. Did you practice? You rehearsed and you did over on, they were staging. They said, okay, now you're going to come over here and you're going to walk to this point, you're going to turn and you're going to do this. That's theater, where it's practice and it's make-believe, and we do it up on stage a lot of times. And its purpose is usually for entertainment. But sometimes theater can be a little bit more than just entertainment. Sometimes we set things out there for the purpose of making sure that things go right, or there's some special symbolism to what's happening. There's a little bit of theater to every wedding service I perform. We bring the center, our mobile stairs, and we set it here in the center, and I have people come the night before and we practice, and we say, okay, now you're going to come up this way and you're going to walk here and you're going to turn and you're going to line up here and you go over here, and now the couple, when you come over and you want to do the unity candle, and this is how you walk over to the unity candle. When you get there, now you're both together, take your individual candles and light the one, and then you blow out the, you know, so that to symbolize that you're no longer just, you're two individuals, but now you're one in spirit. And we practice this. And they're staging so that it can be seen. And the point there is so that it can be seen. Because what's the actions have symbolism, they have meaning. Now, on the one hand, we could look at what Jesus does on Palm Sunday and say, it's just theater. It's staging. He knew what he was doing when he sent a couple of disciples down to go get him, get this colt, the foal of a donkey, so that, had never been ridden before, so that he could ride this into town. He knew all about this passage in Zechariah. It wasn't like he never heard about this before. This passage again, let's read it. I'm going to read it again. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." But you know what? If we go to Matthew chapter 21, we read of the triumphal entry. It says, "As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, and her colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell them that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away.' This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, 'Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" And the disciples did what Jesus instructed them. Okay, we'll stop there. Stage management. Do things to make sure that it just happens just right. And there's been arguments made by people in different sectors that that's what Jesus did with his life. He tried to manage things so that he was fulfilling Scripture, so that he could make the claim. This is the only instance that I can see where Jesus truly managed the situation and staged things. But does that invalidate the fulfillment of the prophecy? I say no. Here's why. When I stage a wedding and we come up and have things set up, there's symbolism to the different actions. The father puts the bride-to-be on his arm and takes on and hands off the bride to the groom who receives her. There's symbolism in that. They come up and we pray, asking God's presence. And in the service and in their marriage. And there's symbolism in that, but it's also, these things are also real. Okay, because the father is truly giving up the daughter. And the Lord truly is going to be here. And as they pass the ring, there's symbolism to the ring. And we practice all of these things and we stage these things. But does that make them any less real? No. Donna, would you be upset with me if I decided not to wear my ring anymore because I said, it was just staged? Okay, we're not going to go that way. I was given the look that, don't you even think about that. Jesus did indeed do these things to show that he was accepting that which has already been proclaimed. Remember, they had already, the people of Israel, had a couple times, at least twice, attempted to force him to be king. They were going to take him and make him king. And he just kind of like, nope, now's not the time. But now this time he comes forward and he says, I'm going to make the proclamation that yes, I indeed am the king. Now, there's a couple ways that he could have come in to town making that proclamation. One would have been behind a chariot or riding a charger, you know, for battle kind of thing. Another way is to ride on a colt, the foal of a donkey who had never been ridden before. The one symbolizes peace, the other symbolizes war. He's coming to bring peace. He's coming to end the conflict. He's coming as king. The king that comes in peace comes on the foal of a donkey. The king who comes in war comes riding a chariot or on a war horse. See, he is coming. Go back to Zechariah. Righteous and having salvation. See, your king comes to you righteous and having salvation. Gentle and riding on a donkey. He's coming as the gentle king. They were trying to make him the king that would overthrow the rule of Rome by force of arms or by miraculous power. Caused them like a miracle which swallowed the army of Egypt as they crossed the Red Sea. Like the miracle of the firstborn dying in the land of Egypt. Like the miracle of the people of Israel walking around the town of Jericho, that's the one. Great biblical scholar here. He's walking around Jericho. Do it for a week, and then we do it 7 times on the last day, and boom, the walls fall down. Yes, it's a miracle. Like Gideon, who with his 300 went and routed an army. This is what they were looking for. Instead, they got some guy coming riding on the colt, the foal of a donkey, saying, "We've already won. I am bringing peace." This is the one of victory. He's not coming to war. He's coming bringing peace, bringing salvation, righteousness. And of course I had to. There we go. Righteous and having salvation. Righteous and having salvation. Salvation is in him. And he has it there for all of us. For all the world. Jesus staged. Did he know what he was doing? Yes, he did. And there was very specific symbolism in what he was doing. He was indeed proclaiming, "I am the king. But I am the king of peace. I am the king of salvation." I am the king coming to my bride. That's us. That's people of Israel. That's all who will receive him. It's an entirely different way than what they people had been wanting him to come. They would have wanted him to come in battle as a warrior. You know, hey, how can you go wrong when you've got a king that can raise the dead, that can feed your armies? Give him a couple fish and he can feed the armies for months. Somebody dies. Oh, poof, poof. You know. Oh, that guy up. Poof, raise him up. Okay. Oh, besides that, yeah, let's call down a little thunder and lightning. Boom. That's what they wanted. Was Jesus capable of those things? Yes. Did he do those things? No. Why? Because he submitted himself to the Father's will. The Father said, "This is the way it's going to happen. This is the way it's going." And as he came on that Palm Sunday morning, it was necessary for them to proclaim him the king say, "This is the King," so that he could be crucified as the King of the Jews. It was necessary. He knew going into it what was going to happen on Good Friday. That he was riding this procession to his crucifixion. And that the same people who were yelling "Hosanna" that morning would be yelling "Crucify him" just 5 days later. Is it theater or is it theology? Remember, theology is knowledge of God. Theater is done for entertainment. It can sometimes instruct and teach, yes. But theology is about showing us more about God. And Jesus did these things to show us who He is. To fulfill the Scriptures. Yes, the King is coming, and He is bringing salvation. Good Friday, Easter, Palm Sunday, Christmas. These are the days we have special services and others. But without these things, salvation wouldn't be. If there wasn't Christmas, there couldn't be Easter. But there's no Easter without Good Friday. There is no Good Friday without the procession of Palm Sunday. Because He came in and said, "I am the King. Sacrifice me for your salvation." Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You are indeed the King. That You came, You lived, and You gave Your life a sacrifice for our salvation, that our sins might be washed clean. Father, we thank You that You showed us through Your actions how to be obedient. That You showed us through these actions on Palm Sunday that You are beyond a doubt our King. But that You are the King who brings righteousness and salvation. And we do rejoice greatly because You come bringing Your righteousness and our salvation as a King, as only a King can, as only the King can. And we thank You for this. In Your name, Jesus. Amen. We're going to close with "It's Your Blood." If you'd like to stand.